This week's intensified Russian missile strikes in Ukraine made us think about photographer Mark Neville, who we spoke with from Ukraine in the first days of the war. A few years ago, this British expat moved to Ukraine, fell in love with it and a Ukrainian woman who became his partner. Then, after Russia annexed Crimea in 2014 and hearing the drumbeat of further war, Mark released the book Stop Tanks With Books, a collection of photos of average Ukrainians, including some of the 2.5 million people displaced by the fighting in Crimea. He sent it to 750 world leaders and powerful figures, hoping it would stop the war he feared was coming, but that came, as we know. The Russians invaded just days after the book was released. Well, now Mark Neville has a new project, Postcode Ukraine. He calls it a guerrilla giving campaign. So far, he and others have delivered $200,000 worth of food and medical supplies, taking pictures at every turn. And Mark Neville joins us. Welcome back.
Thank you very much for having me back.
And I can't imagine your feelings as this war just has become, you know, obscene. And you saw it coming. Just your thoughts as it's maybe gotten worse than even than you thought.
Nothing really prepares you for when it actually happens. You know, I still remember the day, the 24th of February, when we were woken up, my partner and I, by sirens and explosions in Kiev. And then you just go into kind of shock. We stayed in Ukraine for about a week. And then we, because my partner has underlying health issues, we decided we absolutely needed to get her out of Ukraine. And we went across the border as refugees with millions of others to Poland. I returned in March for 10 days on my own, during which time my partner was petrified. You know, she imagined the worst. And in fact, it was quite a dangerous time to return then. Kiev was surrounded on three sides. And then out of the blue, something remarkable happened. One of the recipients of my book, Stop Tanks With Books, which, as you said, was sent out to the international community. And one of those recipients was a collector of my photographs. And he reached out and he said, "What can I do to help?" And I said, "Well, people really need humanitarian aid. And I want to help. And I don't feel it's enough just to take photographs." You know, I have to say, up until that moment, I always believed that art could change the world, that, you know, what I was doing had real social function and real social purpose, and I think it does. But in the face of people being bombed and shelled and killed, I realized I needed to do more. So I proposed a kind of fusion between humanitarian aid and documentary.
And this is the Postcode Ukraine, and obviously people responded, and you've received funds, and also you're taking pictures of what's been happening now, a series of them that we see that you sent us. And by the way, we'll have everything at herenow.org. But that book, your first book, Stop Tanks With Books, has become a compelling memorial. We understand, you know, many of the people in the book have been killed.
That's one of the very desperately sad things about photography, is it captures things that change. You know, buildings get torn down and people die in war. And many of the people I documented over the past 8 years have been killed by Russian soldiers, and these are civilians. There's one guy who I was very fond of, Alexander, who ran a goat farm in Zhytomyr, and a remarkable man, very strong, disabled with one leg. I found out only 2 weeks ago he was shot dead by soldiers as he sat in his wheelchair at home.
Holding a goat, it's so tender, it's so rustic, it's so non-threatening, you know, this man and it looks like his son maybe with their goats.
Yes, it's a local boy who just helps him out on the farm. Ah. But I can't understand it. I can't understand why he needed to die. I don't know, you know, I just have no words really.
Yeah. Looking at these pictures, there's something about the light. There is a sharpness. I mean, there's a little boy kind of cocky with his hand on his hip. There's a fierceness about them. Can you describe what that is that I'm seeing?
Well, I think what I'm really trying to do with my new images since the war escalated in February is try and make images which are so surreal and so unusual and striking for people in the West that they're prompted to re-engage with the war, because I know so many people are feeling exhausted, not just people in Ukraine, but also in terms of compassion from the West.
Well, for instance, here's a beautiful girl. Again, she's got this light on her. She looks like Twiggy in a little mini dress. And yes. It almost looks like you photoshopped her in front of a destroyed Russian tank on a street.
What I try and do with the light, particularly the new images, most of which are shot in black and white, is really focus on the surreal. And that's my feeling about this war. It's so surreal because if you were to visit Kiev now, even now you'd think, gosh, what a happy, positive, vibrant, busy city. So you've got this real positive life on the one hand, and then you've got these carcasses of tanks everywhere. You've got people who have lost family members. Even now I've got friends who, you know, whose parents are being shelled day and night in Zaporizhia. It's just totally perverse, disgusting and absurd. This sense of the real and the now contains both everyday life and it contains this ongoing war.
Here's a couple more examples. There's a young boy in what looks like a school uniform, you know, a jacket with an insignia on it and short pants. He's probably around 10, but he's standing in front of a completely bombed out school. It's just the rubble of a school. Here's another boy. Yeah. He's kneeling next to a burned out tank. And apparently he found a mine. The gazes at the camera are just astonishing. What do you want people to do now through your new project?
Well, I hope people respond to the pictures, and I hope they engage with Ukraine, and I hope they can donate. Any donations we receive go direct to people who need it. So in other words, they won't go on wages, they won't go on overheads, they won't go on petrol. And the kind of things we're doing is we're helping other charities direct on the ground who are evacuating civilians from Kharkov as it's being bombed, providing heaters for people who are homeless. The winter's going to be awful. It's going to be absolutely dreadful. Many people will freeze to death here. We're providing iPads for kids so that they can carry on receiving education online. It's absolutely shocking. As we travel around Ukraine, we see that schools have been deliberately targeted. Museums. Sorry. Sorry. Schools, museums, and kindergartens. And it's really hits you that this is a genocide. You know, the aim of the Kremlin is to wipe out the Ukrainian nation. Quite often, we'll go to some of these small villages, 10 or 15 kilometers away from Kiev center, and there'll be a group of young people just sat in a field. And they're sat in a field because normally they would be going to school, but there's no school left.
I can hear your despair. Your own trauma, generations are going to pass on this traumatic wound. I'm wondering if, in addition to documenting for the Ukrainian people, this despair of what's happening, you're also documenting their nerves of steel and their pride. That's in these pictures, too.
Yeah, I mean, I hope so. I mean, the process of rebuilding has been incredibly quick, you know, and that's one of the things that Postcode Ukraine has helped with. We provide funds for people to build new roofs for their homes, you know. And as soon as these areas were deoccupied, and many of them are still being deoccupied, people just get to work rebuilding their homes, trying to get an income, trying to get jobs. And, you know, we've given up, a lot of us in the West, in terms of fighting for what we believe in, you know. But Ukrainians, they're prepared to fight for an education system. They're prepared to fight for free elections.
As you travel through this, you know, the war-torn Ukraine, what are the images that you're going to carry with you in your mind's eye? Maybe you saw them. Maybe you saw them through the lens. I don't know.
Yes, I mean, the pictures I took of children sat in a burnt-out school bus in Bogdanivka, that stays with me. And these kids whose school bus was targeted, you know, as part of the project, I kind of said, well, you know, what would you like me to photograph? I'm here. I've got my camera kit with me. What would you like me to photograph? And they just said, come back to our school when it's been rebuilt and photograph that, please. And that completely reduced me to tears again as well. And there's a mother and daughter called Masha and Nina, who are also from Kiev region, and they run a farm with a couple of cows and some chickens. And they described their occupation. They said that, you know, these Russian tanks arrived and they destroyed every single flat screen television in the whole village. The troops had never seen a flat screen television before. So they imagined these were some kind of military hardware. Nina, who's 17, she cut all her hair off on the first day of the war because her mother said that, you know, she might be raped. So she did everything to diminish that possibility. Just people's just incredible strength.
Yeah.
Refusal to give in.
Well, Mark, you tell their compelling story, and the photographs are going to post all of them at hereandnow.org, as well as how people can get in touch with Postcode Ukraine, your new guerrilla giving charity. Mark Neville, please stay safe and stay in touch. You keep us in touch. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Robin. Thank you.